Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Good morning. As you just heard me say, welcome to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, campus community radio from Simon Fraser University, broadcasting on the unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, Stolo Katsi Coquitlam, and other Coast Salish peoples. My name is Jesse. I am joined in studio by Vivian. Hello.
Hello.
How are you this morning?
Oh, a bit tired. Just woke up like 1 hour ago.
Yeah, that tracks. I feel like here in the community radio world, we're not super early risers, all of us. This is the beginning of the day for us. We got a whole day of making and thinking about radio ahead of us. Pretty exciting, huh?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So I don't know, listener, if you know Vivian, but Vivian, you are an intern here at the station. You've come to visit us from Germany.
Oh, yes.
And you're here for a little bit, huh?
Yeah, I'm staying here for half a year. I'm here since, I think, since a week.
Yeah, it's been about a week.
Yeah, it's been a week.
So I want to talk a little bit about why you're here, but also before we get really into it, what has your first week been like, both here at the station and just like in Vancouver, in BC generally?
Pretty interesting. I met so many new people and so many inspiring people. The people are so nice. The nature is really great. And here at the station, I felt so comfortable, like, it just popped in, and yeah, and then I experienced so much, and I'm very grateful for that. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're glad to have you here.
Yeah.
Why did you pick Vancouver? Why did you decide you wanted to come do a journalism internship with us?
Because I think here you have so many possibilities to make radio and to be on your own and like have more possibilities, and like I like it more when we have like a little team. It's like more familiar than, I don't know, go to a big radio station and you can or are not allowed to do so much things I'm allowed here to do. So that's a great opportunity, actually.
Yeah. I mean, that's very similar to the reasons why we're all here.
Yeah.
Is that we get to make the interesting kind of radio that's interesting to us and do all sorts of things that we can't do on commercial media. On that note, I want to thank everyone who contributed to our Fun Drive campaign, which happened last week. Your first week here at the station was probably our busiest week of the year, where we're doing our once-a-year Fun Drive. If you still haven't got your pledge in yet, you can go to cjsf.ca/donate. We're always taking donations, but if you have, thank you very, very much. It means a lot to us to be able to continue to make radio, and your support helps us do that. So, yeah, just one more time, thank you to all of our Fun Drive 2022 donors. Today on the show, our main piece is an interview I did with a painter, Michelle Mathias, who is participating in the Eastside Culture Crawl, which happens towards the end of this month. And she's got a show opening up today at the Pendulum Gallery as a sort of preview of the Eastside Culture Crawl. So we'll get to that. But as often happens here on Speak Up with me, Jesse, we're going to hear just a little bit of music first. And we are going to hear a new track by one of my favorite local artists, Kim Ordle, who is all over the map genre-wise, has done hip-hop, has done sort of guitar pop, has done some rock-leaning stuff, just all over the place, R&B. This one is called I Can't Trust You, and it's great. That's all you need to know about what it sounds like.
Well, I can't trust you.
times before. When I found myself opening again, I heard my blood a muted roar. And I can't ignore this. I can't betray my body again and again. And I try to change how I feel. I try to paint over and over it, but I won't go back. No matter how beautiful the memory is, 'cause I can't trust you. No, I can't trust you. It's too bad, so sad, but I can't trust you.
Volunteering at CJSF 90.1 FM is a great experience and is easy to get started, so I'll tell you a little bit about it in the hope that you reach out. As this station is run almost entirely by volunteers, you have a variety of ways to get active at CJSF. Every department can use a little bit of help. Arts and entertainment. Well, you can write and produce reviews, conduct interviews of local musicians, the music library, acquiring, organizing, reviewing, and compiling charts. Public affairs. Interviewing groups, attending events, recording lectures. Public relations, postering, graphic design, and programming. You can host your own show or work on a collective. Production, audio editing, and PSA building. And once you feel comfortable, you can even volunteer to help the volunteers. So volunteer with us at CJSF 90.1. Email us at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca.
School, decide what to do with the rest of your life. Plan out your route, but don't waste your time on the passenger side. What did I know of my mind at 18? I tried to know everything. Series of repeated dreams. Wanna see, I'm not tired, I've just never been able to see the end. Do what you love.
off and make it a functional way to get by. Just do your job, your hobbies will wait for the time you retire. What did I know of my mind at 18? I tried to know everything. Series of repeated dreams. Wanna sleep, I'm not tired, I've just never been able to see the end. I tried to know everything. Series of repeated dreams. Wanna sleep, wanna scream, wanna yell, wanna yawn, wanna weep. Wanna cry, I don't mind that you can't tell that I don't know what to say, where to go, how it ends, who to know. Wake me up, shake me to make sure that I can still take it all in.
Welcome back to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. My name is Jesse, in studio with Vivienne. And you just heard Amanda Sum from her record New Age Attitudes. That was called What Did I Know of My Mind? Local Vancouver artist, as was Kim Mortal, who we heard before with her song I Can't Trust You. That track, What Did I Know of My Mind?, asks a question. I have a question for you, Vivienne. Do you know what the East Side Culture Crawl is?
No.
Okay, so you might not know either, listener, so I'll let you know, let both of you know. Every year, artists in Vancouver's East Side, so on generally the East Side of town, which works out to downtown, Gastown, Strathcona, Hastings Sunrise, that sort of area, a little bit of Mount Pleasant, they open up their studios for anyone who wants to come and sort of like a pub crawl where you go from pub to pub to pub or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. You can just go from studio to visit artists doing their work where their work is done. So it's a really cool way to experience Vancouver's art scene, largely focused on visual art, so painting, sculpting, drawing, photography. But there is some video work. There's some drama. There's all sorts of different things, and you can find out more about the Culture Crawl generally at culturecrawl.ca. It runs from November 17th to 20th, so not this week, but next week from Thursday to Sunday. It's free. You can pick up a printed guide or find their guide on, like I said, culturecrawl.ca. It's a really good way to you know, discover the work of some new artists, but also to meet the artists because they're there in the studio, so you get to talk to them. And I did that yesterday with Michelle Mathias, who is one of the artists participating in the East Side Culture Crawl this year. Her studio is at 312 Main in the basement, which is also where our CGSF remote studio is. So it was nice to speak to a neighbor and get to know a little bit more about Michelle and how her art process works. She does mostly portraits that are very... I don't know. They're very striking. It's usually just one or two people in the portrait, and yet somehow the moment she's captured tells a story. You look at it and you just see there's more going on than just the picture itself. I obviously can't. I can paint a picture to some extent. They're oil paintings, somewhat impressionistic, but pretty real to life. I read the word chiaroscuro when reading about how they're described. Do you know that term?
No.
So it's Italian, and it has to do with the sort of contrast of light and shadow. And so Michelle's paintings are very, very much use this technique a lot of the time to really just sort of, give a little bit more depth to the painting than just a simple painting. But as she describes in her, in our interview, which you're about to hear, she's very influenced by the walk that she takes from her home in her apartment in Gastown to the studio at 312 Main. All the different people from all different kinds of walks of life that she sees along the way. So it was really interesting, both in terms of, you know, the culture crawl is about going and seeing artists where their work is made, and her work is so influenced by where it's made and how she gets there that I thought this was just a real good example of what you might see at the Eastside Culture Crawl. So we're going to hear that, my interview with Michelle, and then we'll be back to talk and play a little bit more music, etc. So. Yes. Without further ado, Michelle Mathias and me.
My name's Michelle Mathias, and I'm being interviewed by Jesse for the 2022 Vancouver Eastside Culture Crawl, and I'm really thrilled to be talking with you today. I just wanted to explain a little bit about my work. I'm an oil painter. I loved people watch, and every day I walked to my studio from the far end of the West End to 312 Main, where I have a studio in the basement, and so does Jesse.
Yeah, that's where we are now, is in your studio here. Yeah. in the basement.
And I see a plethora of people, all different types. I capture them in my mind's eye, sometimes with an iPhone, and then I think about the image and I come back to my studio, work out the composition, and then begin to paint. So my canvases, they're oil on canvas usually. They are urban narratives. They tell stories.
Yeah. That's actually one of the things I wrote down to ask you about, is how it really does feel like storytelling looking at each of your paintings.
Yes, yes. Sometimes I try to capture people in certain conditions that make a story, and then I remember that and I paint it. For example, this shopping cart series, this man, his name is Big Al, and he's a binner. He's a binner on the North Shore. My studio used to be at Lonsdale and First, but now it's here. And this guy used to raise shopping carts down the mountain highway. So, you know, he's a character. He's right there on the canvas right now. But incidentally, he's in a wheelchair, not from raising shopping carts, but from falling down the grass grind, which is a very unfortunate story. So, should I tell you about some of the paintings more?
Sure, yeah. Well, I think it's also, it's very interesting how, like, locality really seems to affect your work, right?
Yes.
Like, the space that you're in, the journey you have to take to
yes.
get from where you live to this space, and, I mean, the people you see and meet along the way, I think that's also interesting in light of the Eastside Culture Crawl, right? Where
yes.
it's very much about visiting these studios, visiting the art where it's made. How do you think, how important is that sort of locality to...
It's extremely important, because I've lived in a lot of different cities, like Miami, San Francisco, Paris, Santiago de Chile, And those stories don't really work here in Vancouver. You can tell when you look at the painting that it's not Vancouver. You can tell from the people, just the different mixtures. And now, some of them are universal, but some are not. But I told you the story about this big owl, but there's other stories. For example, this one. And I usually leave the narrative up to the viewer, and they have to kind of piece together what's happening from the title and from the painting.
So the title of this one is?
This one is... Confessions Over Cocktails.
Okay.
I saw those two women, you know, in the bar at the Pacific Rim Fairmont, you know, and the viewer has to interpret what's happening.
Yeah, you've captured a very specific moment, and I have all sorts of questions about, like, why, what are they talking about? Like, why... Why are their expressions the way they are? Why, yeah, you sort of have to piece in all these, put yourself into it.
That's right. I feel that, like, in this era, making an object has kind of gone out of style for art. And often a lot of the art today is conceptual. It's about ideas. Whereas I feel that doing figurative narratives is, and this is just my opinion, is kind of the highest peak that you can reach. It's incredibly hard to make a composition that reaches people, that draws people in and tells a story and make it beautiful. And if you can do that, you know, and you know, I think that's great. So I do this as opposed to photography because by painting these images, it makes it more important, because we're so bombarded by images on billboards, advertising, but a painting sort of makes it a little more special because you know it's handmade, it's not a camera. And don't get me wrong, photographers have to do a lot of work to get a good composition at the right moment and all of that. But a painting... is a narrative for me.
Yeah, and there's definitely something, there's something there both about the, you know, the tangibility of the piece of art, the image being, like as you said, handmade, handcrafted. You know, you look at it and you can see the texture, you can see the evidence of its making in it. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's I mean, there's, that is a narrative in itself, right? Is the painting of the painting, but also then, yeah, you're adding additional layers of meaning through narrative storytelling.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, I guess I love people watching. To me, I could do that all day long. I was born in Saskatchewan, and I didn't come from a farm, but my parents had a grain farm. And they decided that they wanted to knock the city slicker out of me, and they would kind of kidnap me for, you know, certain times, like a week or at a time or whatever, and take me out to this trailer on our grain farm. And there were no people out there other than my parents. There were no animals. There were no other kids.
Wow.
I didn't have time to go to the library. No TV. You know. And I'd step out of the trailer and look around, and I'd step in the trailer and look around. If I went for a walk, the crows would dive bomb your head. So I just have this hunger for observing people.
So that, like, that really intense deficit at certain points of your childhood really, really created that need for observation and interaction.
That's right.
That's interesting.
That's right.
Yeah, and so when did that sort of start to manifest itself in terms of, like, art? In terms of, like, when did you go from being really interested in observing people to then sort of, like, putting those observations on canvas?
Oh, okay. In my late 20s, I became a teacher, and I taught French, and but on the side, I was doing art, and I've constantly sort of gone back and forth, and that's why I've lived in so many different cities, and we've always sort of lived in the urban area, because we like to walk, not just to take a walk, but walk for a purpose and observe people. So my husband and I have looked for situations where we can work in other countries and take advantage of travel and see different environments, usually, almost always in cities, yeah.
Right, and so if you put yourself in those situations, it's a lot easier to find material and
yes,
to be inspired.
Yes.
I think there's also sort of a maybe like an aspect of community there as well, just
yes.
in terms of like dropping into seeing what a community like is in different places.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you mentioned obviously, you know, if your work is rooted in observation, there's going to be a lot of people, and it's going to be based on where you're observing those people. Do you find that your work is drastically different depending on where you've painted it?
Yes. For example, in Miami, the population is Black, Cuban. There's nuances in the way they dress. You look at somebody in a cafe and they'll be wearing a fedora and sunglasses. You rarely see that kind of thing in Vancouver. And if I go to paint that, it doesn't feel like Vancouver. It feels like Miami.
Right. But you take those details and like what you learn from one city, one setting, and apply it to the new settings when you arrive there?
Yes, yes. So I have different paintings mm-hmm. from those places.
And you have another show coming up on top of the East Side Culture Crawl, right?
Yes. Tomorrow night from 6 to 8 mm-hmm. at the Pendulum Gallery, which the address is 855 Georgia Street. It's across from the Vancouver Art Gallery. Is a show called Next. It is the preview show for the East Side Culture Crawl. Everyone is welcome. So come on out and see our work for that.
And is it so? It's you and other artists there as well.
That's right.
Yeah. Can you tell me anything about, like, do you know any of the other artists you're showing with? Or?
I know them as acquaintances, mm-hmm. but I don't know them.
Like for their work, or
I know their work from seeing it, but it crosses a large range.
And what about your works in the exhibition? Like what
it's a it's a figurative narrative oil painting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great. And then, so you said that's sort of the preview, the opening for the East Side Culture Crawl. Have you participated in the Eastside Cultural
Ball before? It's incredible. It's really an amazing venue because you look at Vancouver, there's no more Georgia Strait, there's no more Courier, there's no more West Ender. The Eastside Culture Crawl is where you see the art. And they do so, the people who run it do so much for the artists, for promotion. It's amazing.
Well, it's really important to get people, like we were saying earlier, into the studios to see yes. the art being made because, you know, I was talking earlier about sort of the story of your painting in terms of it, like the story of it being painted. I think that that's one way that people can really connect with art is that sort of like real, you know, connecting to the location where it was made and maybe yes. getting a piece of what went into to you creating it really directly.
Yes, and it's just so interesting walking on the downtown peninsula here in Vancouver because you see so many different types of people. Mm-hmm. In the downtown east side, you don't see a lot of children. In the West End, you do. And so I saw them. I'm pointing at a painting of a, I call it the Madonna and Child on the night bus. You know, so that is another narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Or people in a bar, or people in an alley with graffiti, or, you know, what have you. People shopping.
Yes. Someone crouched in the dark.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. What would you say your favorite part of the culture crawl is? Like, do you have like a favorite thing that you look
meeting
forward to?
Meeting the people mm-hmm. who come and talking to them yeah. about art. That is amazing.
Mm-hmm. And so, for people who might want to come to the Eastside Culture Crawl. What, first of all, I mean, we'll get into how they can do that, but also sort of what can people expect if they come by your studio? Like what should people, yeah.
Okay, well, this building, 312 Main, the door is on Cordova Street and it's kept locked. So visitors need to email me at paint.sculpt@gmail.com, even if it's 2 minutes before you arrive, because I can just come out of the training room. We are showing up in the training room because it's easier. We can see people when they're there at the door, whatever, and open the door more easily. But email me at paint.sculpt@gmail.com and I'll open the door on Cordova Street and usher you in. And there's another artist, Carrie Hill. She has a photography show on right now and she'll be showing her photos as well.
Great. And so people will come in, see your paintings, have a chat with you, that sort of thing?
That's right. And if they're shy, they don't have to talk. I'll have my easel up there and I can be painting. I can talk or I can not talk.
That's great.
Okay.
Is there anything else you think people should know either about your work or about the Culture Crawl?
I think that's about it.
Great. All right. Well, thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
My conversation with Michelle Mathias, painter, sculptor, artist at the Eastside Culture Crawl, going on next week, November 17th to 20th, Friday to Sunday. You can find out more information about that, the Eastside Culture Crawl, at culturecrawl.ca. You can find out more about Michelle Mathias and her work at michellemathiasart.com. That's Michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, Mathias, M-A-T-H-I-A-S, art, michellemathiasart.com, michellemathiasart.com, for some beautiful examples of her paintings and some of her sculpture. You can see the paintings referred to within the interview, as well as some more cool stuff. Definitely recommend it. You can check out her show, or the opening, the Eastside Culture Crawl opening show, that opens tonight at the Pendulum Gallery, from 6 to 8 p.m. That's at 885 West Georgia Street, downtown Vancouver. Her studio is at 312 Main during the Eastside Culture Crawl. You can pop by and see her works in person. I definitely recommend it. The texture of the paintings, the size of them, all great. Once again, that's next weekend, November 17th to 20th. And if you want to get in, you will have to send Michelle an email at paint.sculpt@gmail.com. That's paint, P-A-I-N-T, dot sculpt, S-C-U-L-P-T, paint.sculpt@gmail.com. She said even 2 minutes before you show up, if you send her an email, she'll be able to let you in. Can't recommend it enough to go see her work and others during the Eastside Culture Crawl. It's just a great experience, great opportunity to immerse yourself in Vancouver's art scene. Yeah, I think I'm going to go. What about you, Vivian?
Seems
cool, right?
Yeah, I like the paintings very much. As I already said, like, I'm not very, like, the art person, but I can interpretate something in the paintings, and it's pretty cool, actually, because you can see there's a story behind it, there are people behind it, and maybe you can also, like, connect with the people on the paintings, and that's very, very cool, so check her out. She's doing a really good job.
Yeah, I definitely recommend checking out Michelle's work, and checking out the Culture Crawl generally. Especially if you don't know anything about art, or you're not familiar with art, they give you a map with a bunch of places to visit, and then you just show up and look at a bunch of cool art and talk to people about it. You can find, as I said, more details at culturecrawl.ca or michellemathiasart.com for more about Michelle. Anyway, this is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, campus community radio from Simon Fraser University. And we're going to give you a little bit more music, because I like music. And we've got about 23 minutes left in the show. So we're going to go to a... amazing Canadian Indigenous artist called Zune. This from the newest record called A Sterling Murmuration, which is in reference to starlings who fly around in big, cool groups that it doesn't really seem to make sense how they all navigate together. Anyway, this one is called Playground.
his bird note. At the edge of the Arctic lies the vast boreal forest. In summer, it's home to legions of nesting birds, from warblers to loons. In early autumn, nearly all these birds depart for warmer points south. By November, this dark land of spruce and firs is a cold, forbidding place. Yet one remarkable songbird stays behind, the boreal chickadee. This tiny, dark-capped fluffball lives here year-round. How do boreal chickadees survive the harsh winter? First, during summer, they cache a great deal of food, both insects and seeds. Moths and beetles and even aphids are stashed away in bark crevices and under rough edges of lichens. The chickadees also store a lot of spruce seeds. Then in fall, the birds put on fresh, heavier plumage, and their feathers are more dense than most birds, creating a comfy down parka for the chickadee. And most impressive, the chickadees adapt to deep cold by lowering their body temperature at night from 108 degrees to just 85 degrees. In this way, the birds conserve their stores of insulating fat. So, hats off to the boreal chickadee, a truly rugged bird, even if it weighs only 1/3 of an ounce.
Never saying good night. I keep banging on the bricks. Never faking satisfied. Watch me move, I'm looking fine. Empty highways, open streets. No one out here in the street.
Bye.
Taco Party by Sylvan Esso here on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. I'm Jesse. In studio with me is Vivienne. Hello. You are going to be late on the radio by yourself later today, right?
Pretty exciting, yeah. I'm going to do my own show at 12 to 1 p.m. So figuring the time. But yeah, maybe you can join. I will play some new songs I found during this week. So yeah, if you want to join and hear like new songs, I don't know, from French to American to Canadian music, everything is there. So yeah, come and join.
Cool. Excited to hear your solo radio debut. And you have shared a song that you're maybe also going to play later, but you wanted to share this one with our listeners right now. What can you tell me about this song?
It's from Claudel. She is a singer from Montreal. Yeah. And this song is in French, but she also sings in English, so it's like a pretty cool album. It's called Gemini, and yeah, I found it on Monday, yeah, and I listen to it all the time. So yeah, it's like pretty cool. She has a very beautiful voice, and I think she is like pretty new into the music industry because she was a model before, and then she jumped into the music business. So yeah, go and listen to her. She's pretty cool.
Cool. You can do that right now. This track is called Chapeau Parapluie, which is Umbrella Hat, by Claudel from her record Gemini.
Je suis partie sans les raisons, rentrée à la maison, mini tragédie.
J'ai mis mes pantalons, les deux sur les talons,
mille livres à l'élite.
À marcher sur les talons, on se serait brûlé les pieds, la tête au paradis.
Je sais pas ce que tu l'as trouvé, le ciel l'a retrouvé, un chapeau parapluie.
Ooh, I like yourself.
Shout out to you, honey, on my mind, all the time.
J'ai encore des traces de couleurs sur la main, du détail.
Just touch my soft spots in the light, living the light.
Fais pas fond, je
fais sur le side.
Sur les talons, Milli Vanilli.
Milli Vanilli.
À marcher sur les talons, on se soit brûlé les pieds, la tête au paradis.
Je sais pas ce que tu l'as trouvé, le ciel l'a retrouvé, mon chapeau parapluie. Llegué a la casa, me puse mi pijama, no quería salir. Llegaste a las 12 con vino a la mano, ¿cómo decirte no?
Ne reparle pas, je t'avoue, j'ai du mal à suivre. On a refroissé les fleurs, les deux à bout de salive. Le ciel est sans, je vois quelque chose qui arrive. Il pleut des flamèches, du feu qui nous brise.
Shout out to you, honey, on my mind, all the time.
J'ai encore des traces de couleurs sur la main, tu détails.
Touch my soft spots in the light, living the light.
Mais au fond, je te vois sur le
side, living your life.
Pieds, la tête au paradis.
Je sais pas ce que tu l'as trouvé, le ciel l'a retrouvé, mon chapeau parapluie.
Good morning. It's Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby. We just danced our way awake with Soul Mikasa.
Yeah, I'm a young black man who uses art to champion and celebrate blackness, as well as creating art that showcases black men as comprehensive, emotionally intelligent human beings.
Right now, we are going to hear a spoken word rap piece by slam poetry winner JB, the First Lady. That is Lady Johnny Proby singing Don't Quit, and here at Speak Up, we do not quit. Love, laughter, argument, and encouragement. The words are too few for the essence of you. And the show is just one of the ways that you can take feelings of pain and transform them to love and recognition. Today, we're exploring senior issues through digital media and the creative arts. My guests are Leslie Riemann, the director of the 411 Center, and Joel Flynn from Podstream. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, welcoming you to the Friday Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon What You've Heard show. We have conversations about social issues, culture, and creative arts events, potent samplings about special months like Health Month, Black History Month, Women's Month, Nutrition Month, and more. See you Friday at 10 a.m.
Okay, that's it for Speak Up. Democracy Now! Is up next. This is Andy Schaaf with Green Glass. See you later, and catch Vivian at noon.
Yes.
See you then.
Bye.
One in the morning, baby, will her disappear? Do you have the money? Are we getting out of here? Tuesday's for nothing, baby. What's your Wednesday like? Everything better when you're in a different light. Look through the green glass for me, will you? Look through the green glass for me, will you? Maybe we could go home soon. Stare up in the static charge. I can't leave the room. It would feel better if I was telling.